always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and joining me there from the Dallas and Fort Worth area is my co-host, my good friend, and my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How you doing, Terry?
Okay, bud. It rained a little bit last night, so...
Yeah, and we're trying to install a swimming pool, and, you know... Every time it rains, it sets us back 2 or 3 days, you know, so maybe by next summer, we might be able to have that thing installed. Now, just a quick note for everybody that is joining us today. I'm going to make an announcement, and Terry, I hope you approve of this, but Terry Farley's son is graduating from Criswell College in Dallas.
That's right.
After spending many years in school, learning scripture and preparing himself to lead his life, leading others to Christ. And that graduation takes place today. And because of that, we're recording early. And as you can see behind me, that is due east, ladies and gentlemen. And that sunlight from the Lord is shining straight through my window and into your face. That's what we try to avoid when we do these. But today is a special day. Terry, please convey my congratulations to your son, Daniel. And I know it's been a long and arduous road for him, and he's finally ready to move on. So congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. I want to throw this in to Loud Dennis, Daniel myself. He's actually being graduated summa cum laude.
Amen. Amen. And it doesn't surprise me a bit. I knew the kid back then before he took his first step inside Criswell College. And I know he is a great servant for the Lord. And I know that this is a very, very special day. Anyway, that's the reason that we are recording today early. But we do have a full show for you. And we're going to get on with it here very, very quickly. So... First of all, we'll just go through the headlines today, and then we'll start really getting into this stuff. And by the way, I do again want to remind everybody that this series of shows is dedicated to the people of Israel. We are going through a book, a chapter, and verse by verse of scripture that appears in the Tanakh. Which, you know, I've referred to it as the Torah, but also this comes from the Tanakh or from the Old Testament, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's very important because this identifies Jesus Christ as Lord for the Jews living in Israel today. So if you are Jewish anywhere in the world, or if you happen to be listening to us there in Israel, you're going to want to stay tuned for this part of the show. Now, as far as what's in the headlines today, we've got... information coming in that the Turkish opposition leader believes that he has the votes to defeat Erdogan in Turkey in the elections that are coming up in just a couple of days. So the question that is being asked there after 23 years of his rule is, will he go quietly? And that's something that we're going to have to wait and see. Also, there's conflicting reports coming out of the Ukraine. Ukraine says that they're making advancements. The Russians are saying, nope, all we've done is backed up a little bit where we got a better shot at you. So I don't know who you want to believe there, but I'm going to stick with Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Russia has got to be strong and mighty to come against Israel. And I believe that Gog and Magog coalition is growing at the right pace to prepare for that attack. So I am still urging my friends there in the Ukraine that if you can get away from it, that conflict, get away from it, because I am still going to stick with my prediction And again, I'm not a prophet. It's just a prediction that the Russian army, before they're done with you, is going to start using tactical nuclear weapons. So I urge you to get out of there if you can. In the Ukraine also, they are saying that the counteroffensive may be started, but the, you know, they're not really coming out and saying that, and nobody can confirm it one way or the other. Also, we have border uncertainty here in the United States, and we're going to get into that a little bit. Also, we have that debt ceiling fight. That's something else. It's going around the world. Don't think that this is just the United States that is concerned about what's going on with the United States debt ceiling. So anyway, hang around for that as well. Also, in Pakistan, their former prime minister has been released on bail. Yeah, he was arrested in Pakistan. In Pakistan, there's a lot of things going on. Again, we're going to get into that a little bit as well, but it's kind of a comparison to what's going on here with Trump in the United States, just to be honest with you. Okay. I don't know how much we're going to comment on this, because we have to be really, really careful with what we say because of the drastic censorship that exists on YouTube and on social media sites. Tremendous amount of censorship when it comes to conservative voices. Of course, you're allowed to say anything. If you're liberal, if you're socialist, if you're communist, you can say anything you want to. Atheist, you can say anything you want to. But if you're a conservative, if you're a Christian, if you're a Caucasian, if you're a male, if you believe that there's only man and woman, you are going to be censored. Okay, that's just the way it is, because the world is corrupt. Okay, and so I made that statement. As a member of the U.S. Press Association, I am allowed to say that. I'm reporting news, and I'm reporting facts. Okay, so then we also have striking Hollywood authors, writers. We'll get into that a little bit today. And let's see here. I don't really see anything else on the top news that is of any interest to me, and that means it's no interest to you either. Okay, Terry, southern border. I don't even know what to say about it, but here's a report on it, and then we will discuss it just a bit. Here you go.
In the hours before the U.S. government lifted a COVID-19 immigration restriction called Title 42 on Thursday, migrants gathered on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border, with some rushing to cross ahead of tough new asylum rules that replaces the order.
U.S. Customs and Border Protection has in recent days been holding up to 28,000 migrants at its facilities, far beyond its stated capacity, and in what appeared to be a record, two federal officials requesting anonymity and the Border Patrol's union said. This week, the number of people caught crossing illegally surpassed 10,000 per day. Davis Richards reporting.
Okay, and also according now to Reuters, they're being faced with tougher U.S. policies. Ha, ha, ha. Tougher U.S. policies. Trump had tougher U.S. policies. Biden has the policy of, come on in, y'all. We don't care what you're bringing with you. Just come on in, you know, because you're going to vote Democrat, and that's all we care about is power, power, power. Okay. Anyway, this U.S. COVID-era border restrictions have given way to strict new asylum rules, according to the Biden administration, and they're urging immigrants. Now, listen to this. They're urging immigrants to use a new mobile app in order to get into the process. Where are they coming? How could they use a mobile app? I'll tell you how they can use it. Because the United States government, because me, Terry, and everybody else that pays taxes is paying for phones to be given to illegal aliens to where they can use an illegal app to gain entry illegally into the United States. That's how they're using that app, okay? Under the COVID-era order, U.S. officials could immediately expel immigrants back into Mexico, blocking them from requesting asylum. The new rules bar immigrants from re-entering the country for 5 years if they're caught crossing illegally. The recent rush has left U.S. authorities overwhelmed and increased the number of migrants being held by U.S. Customs and Border Protection to 28,000, which is far beyond the capacity that of any apparent record levels. Terry, you have any comments on anything I said or any of that?
Just a couple. Florida, I don't know if you noticed, DeSantis and one of his people got together and got a stay on the 42 cessation. Mm-hmm. They've got 2 weeks to work on it. This is no way affecting the number of people that are piling up just right across the river, right across Correct. The border, all along the border. And that's been reported. And so, you know, we're saying 10,000. Wow. No, that's nothing. That's piddling, because what's going to happen is if in 2 weeks, 42 goes away, as it probably, I don't know, hopefully it won't, but if it goes away in 2 weeks, you're going to see numbers like you can't even count.
I agree with that. Yeah. They've got a lot of shelters over there, and the shelters are half empty, are the reports I'm getting. They're all jammed against the border. And I also watched news reports where you could see them busting through fencing, not the fence, not the wall stuff that Trump was putting but through that fencing that he was replacing the wall with. You could see people mm-hmm. that were busting through that, and there were members of the U.S. military right there, standing there, holding their weapons in their hands, and they didn't move. They didn't touch them. They didn't even mm-hmm. look like they spoke to them. They just let them wander on in, and I saw a group, probably 50, 60, something like mm-hmm. that, okay? Well, mm-hmm. if that's happening all across this massive border from Texas mm-hmm. to California, then, you can understand why there is a border crisis right now. They're predicting something like 10 million people will illegally coming into the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay, so much for that one. It's just something that we've got to keep our eyes on. We honestly, right now, the United States doesn't have a border. That's what it really comes down to. Okay. All right, Terry, I'm going to go ahead and let you go early today, and I'm going to give Terry a couple of minutes. We do this in the first half of first and second half of every show. Give Terry 2 minutes. Even before we do that, though, I do want to remind you guys that the Last Christian newscast and radio show is very, very proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. As a parent concerned about your children are being exposed to and learning in public schools, you'll appreciate the opportunity to learn from Kirkwood Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, or smartphones. You can learn more about the program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net for free information on Kirkwood Homeschool Learning Program for Kids. And Terry, with that, sir, you are up for your 2 minutes with 2 minutes from Terry.
Welcome to the Last Christian Charge, Engaging the Sword today, James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. To prepare us for battle each day, we daily anticipate Jesus' shout. Why? This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23. Let us now turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them, otherwise you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do give your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have the reward. When you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. When you have shut the door, pray to your Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. And I've got to cut in for you right there. Okay. And we'll pick up in the second half. I wanted you to be able to complete the prayer. It would have been inappropriate to break in at any point with that. Okay.
I thought that as I was reading it. That's why.
Well, I did want you to be able to get that in for sure. Getting back to news here, the G7 met over in Japan. And, of course, that includes the United States of America. And let's listen to this report real quick.
The financial leaders of the Group of Seven wealthy nations meet in Japan, which began Thursday, as a standoff over the U.S. debt ceiling and potential default looms as one of the biggest potential threats to the global economy.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said one of her priorities in Niigata, a port city on the Japan seacoast, would be to emphasize the importance of resolving the standoff over the national debt in the world's largest economy. A default is frankly unthinkable, she told reporters before the broader meetings began. Guy Davis reporting.
Okay, now, this is from Japan. Of course, this is Janet Yellen, who is the individual that can't count to 10 that is in charge of the United States policies on finance. Okay, she knows absolutely nothing about it. She has been wrong 100% of the time on every move that she makes. That's a fact. If you don't believe me, look it up. But anyway, she is, again, she is the Treasury Secretary, and she said there's still uncertainty about exactly when the Treasury of the United States will run out of money to pay cash for the U.S. government debts, but she would keep Congress apprised of any changes with that. Now, the possibility of Washington being in default on debt, this has not happened since 1785, but there is a very good possibility of that. Ms. Yellen said, our focus is on making sure that Congress does raise the debt ceiling. I feel that's something we're going to succeed in doing, but we're working hard to make sure that it gets done. She has no idea what's going on. Absolutely no idea whatsoever. But now, if you think that the G7 was only concentrating on that, then you would be badly mistaken. Listen to this part.
Finance ministers from the world's richest G7 countries are closing in on a final joint statement after 2 days of debate. The meeting in Japan should lay the roadmap on diverse issues such as supply lines, climate change, and Russia's war in Ukraine. Chris Gilbert reports.
The three-day talks are being held behind securely closed doors due to the sensitivity of the information at hand and the possibility of rattling global markets if the communications are not controlled. However, reports say that finance leaders have focused on diversifying supply lines from China and reducing the dependence of members like Japan and Germany on exports from Beijing. They're also looking to enhance sanctions on Russia to drain it of resources needed to continue the Ukraine war. In a rare move, Japan has also invited non-G7 nations such as Brazil and India to the ministerial meeting. Both countries part of the BRICS alliance with China and Russia may be harder sells on some of the initiatives on the table.
And I can assure you that India is going to be a very hard sell. Now, you heard there where they reference BRICS, which is the alliance with China and with Russia for energy. And of course, since the United States can't even, you know, pay for its or actually get its own oil, even though we've got an overabundance of it in the ground that Biden won't allow us to get out of the ground. So we are dependent on the world. The United States is energy dependent, whereas we had achieved, again, if this is a fact, look it up, we had achieved energy independence under President Donald J. Trump, And mm-hmm. we are back to dependence under bumbling Biden. Okay, that's just a fact. Look it up. Okay, but anyway, before we go any further into news items, I do want to get to what we really want to talk about today, and that is the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. This is the one that is mm-hmm. hidden from those of the Jewish faith. You are not taught this in your synagogues. So if you are in Israel and you are a Christian, or you are beginning to understand that, yes, hey, they are hiding something from us, share this video. We encourage you, if you are on YouTube, like, share, comment on all our videos. We hope they survive when the rapture happens, to where people will know what's going on, because believe me, the world is not going to want you to know what just happened. But anyway, Terry, we're going to get into Isaiah 53. This is verses 7 through 9. If you would like to read those, sir, I'm going to put them up on screen there for you.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions of my people. He was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth.
Amen. And I'm going to have you read verse number 7 again. Just verse 7. Read that one for me, please.
He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth.
Okay, now you're more familiar, Terry, I'm thinking anyway, maybe not, maybe it's more Daniel than you, I'm not sure. But how many years was it between the time of Isaiah and the time of Jesus Christ? Was it 1,000 years? Was it 2,000 years? Do you have any?
I don't have it handy. I've got a chart. But anyway, it was probably somewhere around 500-600 years, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
May have been a little more.
Okay.
It was a great period of time.
Yeah, centuries at least, right?
Many centuries.
Okay. So with that in mind, and again, just for a second, I'm going to put this back up on screen. And I'll refer to it one more time. This is, again, in verse 7. It said, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Now, I want you to now then take a look at, this was, again, Terry's thinking, you know, several hundred years, you know, and I got no reason to doubt that. Anyway, let's call it 500 years. Let's be nice, okay? Nice for those of the secular or non-believers and say 500 years, even though we think it's longer. Okay, take a look at this now. You want to read that?
Sure. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly.
Okay. Now that says he just talked. He talked like crazy. He pled his case in front of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
He did not. He did exactly what was written centuries earlier in Isaiah 53, 7 through 9. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That is called fulfillment of Scripture. And there are a lot of unfulfilled Scriptures still remaining. And when I say a lot, I mean meaningful, hard-line Scriptures that are still out there. I would refer you to Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, the Gog and Magog war, which is coming, in which God himself and only God will prevent Israel from being totally destroyed. I also point you to Isaiah 17:1, which talks about the complete annihilation of Damascus and the inability for anyone to survive there, it being totally uninhabited. That that is yet to come. That is unfulfilled. And of course, I would point you to the book of Revelation and what lies ahead for those of you who do not accept Jesus Christ before the rapture. Notice I said those of you who have not, because Terry and I have. And anyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior doesn't have to worry about what unfolds in the book of Revelation. Terry, you've written about it, and you got 2 minutes to talk about it. Okay, so let's hear a little bit about the rapture of the church in 2 minutes. Go ahead.
The rapture of the church is real. It comes from the word rapiamur. Jerome's Latin Vulgate, a 4th century, is where the word was derived from, as he was translating from the Greek, which is, it uses the word harpazo in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, caught up. We who are alive and remain the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them. Caught up is the word rapiamur that Jerome coined. And that is the word that we know of and recognize as the word for meaning rapture. And so it's totally legitimate. It's scholastic. It's academic, academically sound. And so please don't be afraid to use it. It's in probably about a billion Roman Catholic Latin Bibles. So it's legit, as they say, and we're not pushing any particular group here. What we're talking about is scholarship, because when it comes down to it, the whole thing is all about Jesus. And by the way, throwing in on the Isaiah thing, some of the Jews, rabbis do teach Isaiah 53, but what they say is all of this talk that goes through Isaiah 53 is in reference to Israel itself.
But that really applies. Yeah, that really fits.
But when you see the singular aspect of the language continually referring to a specific person, you know, it's got to be some guy. Who are they talking about?
I believe that you've pointed out before that people on the street there in Israel throughout the country refer to the, you know, if they're asked about it, they say, sure, we've heard that. That's all about Jesus. And then they say that that they think it comes from the New Testament and not from the Tanakh, correct?
Yeah, that is what they say, many of them,
Okay. All right. Now, we've come to the end of the first half of the newscast, but, of course, we have another half hour to go. If you are a radio station you'd like to pick up the show, as many, many have, just go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net. You'll find free information there on how to get this show on your station for absolutely nothing, because we want to get the word of Christ out there. For everybody else, we're going to be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian newscast and radio show.
According to reports, more Christians are killed for their faith each year in Nigeria than in the rest of the world put together. Fulani militants have been sweeping northern states, firing assault rifles and burning homes, including Blessings. We've changed her name to protect her. He says the Fulani militants came and began attacking the community and chasing people from their homes. They were destroying houses and setting them ablaze. And she said Nigerian soldiers stationed nearby did nothing at all to help the villagers. Others said the same.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Pastor John, we changed his name too, was at a prayer meeting when they heard gunshots. The military barracks is next to the town, but when the villagers called on the soldiers to help, Pastor John says they did nothing.
The military, we told them, we called on them. We were calling on them to come and help us with the police. What they told us clearly that their hands were tight, that they would not be able to do anything because they were not giving command from the government. In fact, they were killing some people in front of the military, but they were not doing anything.
Pastor John and the others believe the attack was religiously motivated.
When they were shooting, what we heard from them is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. We heard them clearly. So we knew actually this is Islamic Jihad coming to attack us.
Archbishop Benjamin Kwashi is a partner of Release International.
I must say that this is happening under the nose of a federal government. I've done far more funerals in the last 20 years than I have done naming ceremonies or weddings put together. I'm a grieving pastor.
It's election time in Nigeria. Archbishop Kwasi says unless the new president stops the killings, Nigeria will face a refugee crisis that will impact the world.
Christians are going to run out of this country. They're going to leave in droves. They will not wait for the persecution that will happen.
Release International has named Nigeria as a key country of concern. It calls for prayer and support for the suffering church in that nation. Release International partners are providing trauma counseling for victims of violence.
Years back, when I was studying for the ministry, I endured a spiritual burnout and a crisis of faith. At the time, I was attending a large church. My pastor was a gentle yet firm man. Without criticism or rejection, he took me under his wing and encouraged me through counsel and prayer. I can only believe that he had insight into God's call upon my life and faith that God would pull me through my rebellion. And he did. Is there someone in your life that you know is called of God but is suffering a crisis of faith at this time? May I encourage you to be an encourager and encourage that person to not give up but look up and trust God's plan for their lives. Who knows the impact that that one dear soul might have on the whole world because of your few words of encouragement? God Tracking is encouraging others to flourish in their faith. I'm Dudley Anderson. More at surereality.net.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the last Christian newscast and radio show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in East Texas, joined by my friend and my brother in Christ there in Dallas, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, I know that during the very brief time that we had between the first and second half, you wanted to grab the Bible real quick and reference what we were talking about there in the first half with the number of years between the prophet Isaiah and Jesus actually standing before trial. So I'm going to let you address that right now.
Sure. 712 BC before Christ, Isaiah 53 was written according to the best scholarship. And then going back over to Jesus at 33 AD, putting it together, it would have been roughly 750 years from the time Isaiah wrote those words and Jesus stood before Pilate silent.
Okay. And so I'm going to assume that, you know, when Jesus was coming up as a kid, he read Isaiah and he said, okay, well, I'm going to do exactly that. You know, I'm going to be captured eventually and I'm going to be killed. And so in other words, people, what I'm saying is that Jesus confirmed everything in the Old Testament. Okay, that's all
sure.
I'm trying. That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Nobody is going to
intentionally follow something that was written 750 years before and actually go to the point of dying to complete it. That's just not going to happen. Instead, he fulfilled it. He didn't create it. He fulfilled it. Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, and there's a verse in Romans chapter 8 which speaks about the fact that all of these things were determined, including that passage of scripture from Isaiah 53. They were determined before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Yeah,
and that's hard to, you know, even as a Christian, it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact.
Amen.
That God knew that Terry and I were going to be having this radio show right now.
Amen.
And exactly
That's
what
right.
words were going to come out of our mouth before
Amen.
He even created the world. Now, okay,
yes,
as a Christian, even as a Christian, that's hard to wrap your mind around, but that's because we are human beings, we're not God, okay? And so even the AI, the artificial intelligence, it can't do it either. Okay, it can't do it either. No. All right. Now, before we get back into Isaiah, I want to run across a couple of more news items, and then we'll get right back into it again. But anyway, this is Ukraine and Russia and the ongoing conflict there.
Ukraine says it's recaptured ground on parts of the front line near the eastern city of Bakhmut. The deputy defense minister says Ukrainian forces have advanced just over a mile in the past week. It comes as NATO countries are under growing pressure to offer more weapons to aid the counteroffensive against Russia. On Thursday, the UK became the first ally to donate long-range cruise missiles. Kira Rudik, leader of Ukraine's Holos party, says the Storm Shadow missiles are crucial.
We here in Ukraine are extremely happy. It's super good news, and this is one step further towards the victory, towards the end of the war. Because you know what's going to happen next. Many will follow you. And this happened with so many other kinds of weapons, when we just need somebody brave to step up and say, yeah, we will do that.
Okay, and China is willing to step up and say we'll do that. The China special envoy is scheduled to visit the Ukraine, Poland, France, Germany, and Russia. This special representative of the Chinese government does plan to visit those countries to communicate with all parties on the political settlement of the Ukraine crisis, and that begins on May the 15th. Now, he pointed out that since the outbreak of the Ukraine crisis, China has been actively promoting peace talks in an objective and just manner, adding the that this visit is relevant to countries shows China's commitment to promoting peace talks and fully demonstrates that China firmly stands on the side of peace. And of course, the Biden administration had this to say about it. And that is the complete statement from the United States. Okay. Now, also in China, we're also talking about artificial intelligence there. This says that China could use AI, deep fake technology, to disrupt the 2024 election. This is according to representatives in the United States Senate. There's absolutely a possibility that they could do that for the 2024 election, and that's what we have to be on guard for. This was according to GOP Senator Ricketts during a Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing. Now, Ricketts references China and its use of AI technology to create deep fakes, which are fabricated videos and images that can look and sound like real people and events. A report released earlier this year by the U.S.-based research firm claimed a pro-Chinese spam operation was using AI deepfakes technology to create videos of fake news anchors reciting Beijing's propaganda. These videos were disseminated across social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. China has no regulations limiting the reach of deep fake within its borders. Now, he said he was wary of a suggestion that the federal government could create its own AI office to educate people, citing a bloated bureaucracy, but called on his colleagues to stay on topic and learn as much about it as they possibly can. And he finally, the last quote that he has here on it, he says, "I'm always very careful about creating more government bureaucracy, so I'm not sure we want to run and do that. There are probably places that we can already address this, but I think part of it is just for my colleagues and for me to get educated on this and what the capabilities are. And like I said, it's moving very quickly. So we've got to stay on topic." Notice he said it's very quickly. Everything is very quickly in the last days. Okay, and so it's just, to me, it's just more confirmation that the Bible's true.
That was really good. That was very good. We need to make a cut of that and keep it for maybe the beginning and ending of each show.
All right. Now then, I told you guys about what's going on in Pakistan, or at least I mentioned it in the first half of the show. And this sounds eerily similar to me to what's going on with President Trump. So anyway, I just want you to, now I'm not trying to compare Prime Minister Khan to President Trump. Okay, don't take me that way. I'm just saying that what's going on with them sounds very, very similar. So let's just listen to these two reports.
Pakistan's ex-Prime Minister Imran Khan has been granted bail for 2 weeks after being arrested earlier this week on corruption charges. His arrest has been called unlawful by the country's Supreme Court. Ishan Garg reports.
Imran Khan says even though he's now free, he could be arrested once again. He's accused the country's government and the army of conspiring to put him behind bars so that he can no longer contest elections. Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif has denied these allegations, calling Khan a liar. Khan supporters are now taking to the streets. Protests have turned violent in the past week, leading to at least 8 deaths and 2,000 being detained by the police. Khan says if he is arrested again, this political turmoil will continue. His popularity has reached new heights since he was ousted as the country's prime minister last year, and he is now calling for early elections in a bid to come back to power.
Okay, now doesn't that sound a lot like Trump? I mean, he's being arrested. The people in power are doing all this stuff, and his popularity is going up, up and up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's trying to run for office again. Okay. It sounds, you know, very, very similar to what's going on. I mean, the world itself, if you notice, all these things are kind of becoming parallel all across the world. Things are happening that sound eerily similar to here. Here's the second half. I want you to hear this one because it gives you a little bit more in-depth of what's going on over there.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks, looking again today at Imran Khan, the former Prime Minister of Pakistan, who was arrested earlier this week on corruption charges, only to see the country's Supreme Court rule on Thursday that his detention was illegal. It's the latest twist and turn in an ongoing battle between Mr. Khan, ousted from power a year ago, and the current government. At stake, the timetable for the country's elections and the independence of the Pakistani judiciary.
The Supreme Court is actually, there is some quite a bit of respect for the Supreme Court, but what's been happening lately is that this current government has curtailed the powers of the Supreme Court.
Mahtab Aziz is a UK lawyer who has represented Imran Khan in the past and says he's worried about the days ahead in Pakistan.
If you recall, there was an attempted assassination previously, and it has always been assumed that there will be multiple attempts at assassinating. That was just the first one. And then they tried to do it again in March when he was attending, like the situation now, when he attended court, they tried to assassinate him, but he managed to somehow escape. I really, truly fear for his life.
For now, the former Prime Minister is being forced to remain in a government guest house, even though the Supreme Court ruled that he should be freed immediately. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Okay, so, you know, people want to complain about our Supreme Court and all that kind of stuff. Well, here it is, a Supreme Court in another country that makes a ruling, and the country says, we'll ignore you. You know, but one thing that really kind of comes to my consciousness here, I guess, is the fact that he was talking about the possibility of being assassinated. Now, here in the United States, we've got a history of assassinations. You know, we got the Lincoln assassination. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the Kennedy assassination. We had the Robert F. Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King assassination. You know, I could go on and on and on. We haven't had any in a few years. We had an attempt on Ronald Reagan in 1980. Mm-hmm. 1981, I'm sorry. You know, it's calmed down, but I don't put it past them with President Trump because mainstream media hates this guy so much that they don't care what rules are, and they'll do anything that they possibly can. And, you know, we've already seen a Supreme Court justice who had a guy right in front of his house with an idea of wanting to kill him, you know. So luckily for President Trump, he's got the United States Secret Service protecting him, but so did John F. Kennedy, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. Terry, I'm going to give you your 2 minutes again.
Okay.
For 2 minutes with Terry. Before I do that, however, I do want to remind everybody that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. As a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. All it takes is a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, or smartphones. You can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net for free information on Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for children. And Terry, with that, I'm going to turn it over to you for 2 minutes with Terry, starting right now.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward you openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupts, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen, Terry. And, you know, that prayer is... It always brings chill bumps to me. It just does.
Amen. So, amen.
All right. Real quick here, I do want to let you guys know that Turkey is having an election. It's coming up in just a couple of days. And this is about Turkish leader there. He is in a very, very tight race with this opposition leader. And now it's telling me here that he would contest the results if they're not in his favor. Now, remember, this guy's been in power for 23 years, so he's got a bunch of, you know, he's got a lot of things in his disposal. The report does say that if, you know, if it happens to be a landslide victory for the other guy, he's probably out of luck. But, anyway, it makes it clear that this is the weakest that he's ever been in his political career. Reason for that, many Turks are struggling to pay for food, schools, and rent. And listen to this, and this is something that'll hit home really hard. With workers' minimum monthly salaries worth the equivalent of $436 a month because of the currency devaluation there. Even so, the supporters and even critics are crediting Erdogan and his team for their early accomplishments, improving the lot of the poor by delivering electricity and water supplies, raising per capita income, spreading wealth and health care, and building new schools, clinics, roads, bridges, and airports. I'll go back to the $436 a month. It's happened since, okay? Anyway, Erdogan's supporters and even liberal critics say that he's also left his mark by raising the profile of Turkey as a regional power and by lifting a ban on headscarves, which has allowed conservative women to work in the public sector and freely attend university. Now, of course, that's not really a whole lot, you know, you don't have to cover your head so you can go to a university. But basically every other right you got, you're not the same as men, because that's just the way that is in the Islamic countries. Now, Erdogan, his rival, says that Russia, he's accusing Russia of a deep fake campaign. Remember, we talked about deep fake in the first part of the show. Anyway, he's accusing Russia of a deep fake campaign ahead of this presidential vote. This is coming out of Istanbul. It's being reported by Reuters. He said that the main election rival of the Turkish president has issued a warning to Russia, accusing it of responsibility for the release of fake material. He says that Turkey's Russian friends are responsible for the release of montages, plots, deep fake accounts. He said, if you want to continue our friendship after May 15th, and he's talking to the Russians here, if you want to continue our friendship after May 15th, withdraw your hand from the Turkish state. We are still in favor of cooperation and friendship. And in other words, they are moving further and further away from NATO. This is a NATO country, but they're moving further and further from NATO and more and more and more into the hands of Russia and, of course, China. It says that Moscow and Ankara have close ties, and Russia is Turkey's largest supplier of energy. Let me read that to you again. Russia is Turkey's largest supplier of energy. I thought we had sanctions where the NATO countries weren't supposed to be getting anything from Russia. Okay, well, obviously, Turkey, a NATO member, is not paying it any attention now, are they? Okay, because they're the largest supplier. My goodness. Okay, President Vladimir Putin and Erdogan hold frequent talks on issues ranging from energy to the wars in the Ukraine and Syria. In the tense campaign ahead, it says that political figures from both Erdogan and his opponent have complained about online accusations, including the postings of videos and photographs. Again, what they can do with this AI stuff is they can make it look like somebody. You actually think it's them. You know, it's so good that you actually think it's them. You see their face, you see their mouth moving, you see the words come out, and you think it's them, and it's completely fake. And, you know, this is something, it's happening here in the United States, too. It's being presented in Biden videos and also in Trump videos. So that's just something. Go ahead.
It's kind of like a Hollywood movie, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we talked about the writers. We talk about the writers, right? And the reason that they're on strike is because, you know, they're afraid they're going to lose their jobs because this AI stuff can take over.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
it
for them,
it does a better job.
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, they're shooting themselves in the foot because they were on strike, and then they all got to talking, and they were talking about, okay, well, you know, they turned it into a party, and they went to a bar, and everybody got drunk. Okay. I'm just telling you what I saw reported. Okay. So that's for that. Okay. We got to get back to what we really want to talk about, though. And that is Isaiah. So I'm going to go back now. And we're going to again go to, Isaiah chapter 53, 7 and 9, or 7 through 9. And here I want to talk about verse 8.
Okay.
He was taken from prison and from judgment. Go ahead, Terry. Go ahead and read that.
He was taken. Sure. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken.
Okay. And then what I wanted to point out here, again, comes from Matthew, the book of Matthew. And we're going to look at Matthew 27, verses 24 through 26. I'm going to put that up on the screen for you, Terry, if you don't mind reading that one.
When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this person, this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified.
Okay, and you see there that it says that he was scourged, which means he was beat to a point where basically he would have died anyway. Okay, yeah. But then he was taken and he was crucified. And if you look again back here at Isaiah 53, you can see in verse 8 there, he was taken from prison, from judgment, and it said he was cut off from the land of the living. Well, to be cut off in the land of the living means you died, right?
Yeah.
So here you have again the fulfillment of Scripture, but that last part there, for he was cut off in the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And then, Terry, if you'll read verse 9 for me, please.
And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. He was crucified amongst two thieves, and then he was buried in Joseph of Arimathea's plot, where he had his tomb made ready for himself. He donated it to Jesus for his death. A very rich man, but he loved Jesus, and he went forward with courage and asked for the body to be buried in his tomb.
Oh, you made that up. You made all that up, right? Okay. Let's look at Matthew 27, verses 57 through 61.
Okay. Jesus buried in Joseph's tomb. Now, when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb.
So again, we have more fulfillment of Scripture. Okay, yeah. So you can see that all of this played out exactly the way that it was written in the book of Isaiah, Terry said this was approximately 750 years before it happened. So I think there was a little time for people to forget about this, but it was fulfilled to the letter during when Jesus was walking this earth and was eventually killed for our sins. Again, now, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are looking for that last individual to accept Christ before the rapture of the church that we know is coming. Just like there is a last play in any football game, there is a last individual to accept Christ before the rapture of the church. Certainly, you can accept Jesus after the rapture, but if you do, you are facing a minimum of a minute or two or hours or up to 7 years of the worst times the earth has ever seen and will ever see, called the Great Tribulation. All you've got to do is say, "Lord, I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he was buried for 7 days. I know he rose just like he said he would. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time. I know he's ascended to heaven. He sits at your right hand, and he promised he's coming back for his church before God unleashes those 7 years of wrath on the earth. I will follow you all the remaining days of my life, even if it's for right this second. And I pray this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ." And when you say that, if you are that last individual to accept Christ, if you are the last Christian that we're looking for, then you're going to be looking Jesus in the face, and you're going to be surrounded by every Christian living and dead in the air with him before God unleashes that wrath. So please, if you have not accepted Jesus, please do so right now, and you don't have to go through any of it. If by chance the rapture has occurred and you're wondering what's going on around you and you're seeing an old repeat of a show between two guys that are no longer in the world, now you know what happened, and you can give your heart to Jesus too. Yeah, you got to go through some hard times, but You're going to come out as a winner in the end, just like Terry and myself. Now, if the Lord gives us another day, we'll be back for another show. If not, well, hopefully we see you in the air. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. We look forward to seeing you again. Y'all have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Good night, and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.